Teaching Learning Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. David Voss is the president of Voss & Associates. They specialize in communications consulting. Specifically, he teaches people how to deliver the message. Wish I'd known him when I was a principal. Enjoy.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? Check us out there. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Today I'm talking with David Voss, president of Voss & Associates. He is a journalist, spokesperson, consultant, and trainer. Voss & Associates is a team comprised of David and his son, Kellen. They specialize in communications consulting, media campaigns, and training. Voss & Associates has been communicating education since 1999, representing school districts, education associations, nonprofit organizations, and for-profit companies. We teach clients how to deliver the message regardless of the medium. David has been the director for communications for three large agencies for the Florida state government. He was the press secretary for Governor and Senator Bob Graham and for the Florida Commissioner of Education and University of South Florida President Betty Castor. David moved on to being a marketing executive for Apple Computers in Education, where he was charged with running conferences, making presentations, launching new products, and closing big deals. Say hi to everyone, David.
Hello, Steve, and thanks for that introduction. I'm anxious to help school districts in Georgia.
Very cool, very cool. And what's funny is the way the world works and all that sort of stuff, David is on his way to an airport right now, which that's got to be a lot of fun. So,
heading your way.
Very nice. Come on up here to Georgia. So let me go ahead and ask you this. You know, wow, you were press secretary for a governor and a senator. Tell us a little bit about that.
Steve, I've really enjoyed being a press secretary. It's kind of a great apprenticeship. It's a young person's game. But what I learned was the impact that communications can have on overarching policy that affects people's lives. So sometimes I would actually be asked to write a speech that sets policy, whether it was in education, healthcare, or elderly affairs. And that speech writing practice, plus dealing with the media from the other side of the fence after I had been a journalist, was extremely worthwhile and exciting venture for me.
Very cool. And I just can't imagine writing, when you work for a politician, you're also, I would think, kind of charged with keeping them from getting into trouble. So,
yeah, sometimes it's a challenge.
I can imagine. Now, I can't leave the Apple part out of there just hanging out just all by itself. Were you at Apple at the time when Jobs was there?
Yeah, toward the end of my time. And this is all during the 90s when we were trying to integrate technology into the classroom and into the curriculum. Steve Jobs was there toward the end. I did get to see him and work with him a few times on some major client deals. But again, that was quite an exciting ride, because you're right at the cusp of technology, the development and changes going on in education, which were dramatic and still continue today. And communicating those changes has never been more important. But that was some ride. We did major conferences, major shows, and of course, signed major contracts with districts to use the Apple equipment.
Oh, I remember those days very well, because I was in a couple of those districts where they went all in with the Apple product. So very cool. Let's get into what you do. On the front of your website, a visitor cannot help but see these words: educators need a bigger bullhorn. What are you talking about?
I was hoping it was self-explanatory, but I appreciate the opportunity to explain it. Public education has taken a beating. Whether it's the politicians running for office or the media looking for a sensational story, I feel strongly, and I believe educators agree, that we've gotten unfair treatment in the media and in a lot of the public. Say a loud one. I'm talking about our response, our vision. You know, in Georgia, we have the Vision Project. We're going to have a louder bullhorn to get it out there to show leadership on the direction that we need to go. Nobody knows better what we need in education than educators, particularly superintendents and principals and leading educators everywhere. What we haven't done a very good job of is communicating it so that people know we're competent, capable, willing to make changes that's best for kids, and really stop having a political arena be the decisive factor in whether how much test kids, discipline issues, et cetera. So we just need to be louder and more forceful in pushing policies and funding for public school.
I love it. Love it. And I love the image, by the way, that's on your website. There's a guy with a bullhorn.
It kind of looks like he's on a moon, but he's screaming at no one. And we've got to be sure it's loud and clear.
Love it. Part of your slogan is that you teach clients how to deliver the message regardless of the medium. Tell me what you're talking about there, because I love that part, regardless of the medium.
Well, yeah, you know, at the core of everything I teach in my training, both online courses and on-site courses, is developing the message. So oftentimes we dilute what we're wanting to say with too many words, or we confuse it by, going off on tangents, and we don't really create that memorable line. We've all experienced speeches where there's one big takeaway, or speeches where it's incredibly boring and we never really find out what the speaker's point is. We really hone in on the message. We've heard that a lot in political circles, and maybe it's even gotten a bad rap or a negative connotation, but really developing the message so it's powerful, impactful, and memorable is key to any communication, whether it's to the media, social media, public speaking, or even just talking to an angry parent or board member. You've got to have a message that sticks.
I love that. I love it. You know, what's really cool is that I actually was in a class that David taught, and he helped us, those of us who were willing to be guinea pigs. Anyway, he helped us understand a little bit more about fine-tuning that message and focusing on that message. And, you know, and David, speaking of that class, your classes are interactive, they're thought-provoking, and they kind of leave you wanting more because you see how little you know and how much you could know. One of the skills you taught in that class was something about asking the reporter when their deadline was. And in education, we tend to have to respond quite often to the outside world asking us questions. And so we're reacting to what they say. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it's funny you would mention that, Steve. I just interviewed someone who took my online media talk course. And I said, what was the most memorable thing about it? And he said, you told us to ask, when is your deadline? I call it the magic question. So before you answer any questions from the media, you ask, when is their deadline? And then you become the reporter. What is this about? What information do you need? Who else have you talked to? But by asking when is your deadline, you're not blowing them off. You're not being belligerent. You're not being obstinate. You're genuinely interested in their deadlines, their professional responsibility to get a story, but at the same time, effectively delaying. You don't want to answer those questions on first blush telephone call or when they just walk up to you with a microphone. You want to answer those questions after you've had time to think about it. Back to that messaging. You can be the world's greatest expert on a topic, and you may be the world's worst spokesperson for that topic because you don't have a clear, clairvoyant, and memorable message. And you also aren't necessarily ready for the interview, perhaps with the questions that they're going to ask. So asking that magical question of when is your deadline gives you a delay, gives you time to think about it before you talk, and it also tells the reporter that you care about their professional responsibilities as well, thus building your media relationship.
I love it. And I love the fact that you just had someone ask that question too, because I think that's right at the top of our brains about, you know, once we get introduced to you, is that, oh my gosh, I mean, I could see how I just started answering without really knowing what it is that they wanted. You just kind of go for it, and instead you should do the opposite.
No, we should never wing it.
Yeah, that's I love that advice. And so let's use that to kind of jump into, what do you think is one of the biggest mistakes that educators make when working with the media?
Well, you know, during crisis situations, if you haven't already built up some relations, you're in a deeper hole. So I think one of the mistakes we make is not building good media relations on a day-to-day basis. Getting to know them, first name basis, professional relations, of course, but you really want to know who they are, how they operate, a little bit about their duties and responsibilities, and nurture those relationships. And I think just with the busyness and everything that's going on in an educator's life, we don't necessarily do that. And a lot of the school districts do not have full-time public relations folks who are responsible for that. And the second thing is we've got to be able to answer the question forthright, but with something that's quotable. I call it be quotable. So you can go on and on, but then you're trusting the reporter to quote the right thing. And often we get misquoted. But if you decide ahead of time what the quote is and then deliver it in a way that they really write it down or cater somewhat to their needs to be short, pithy, to the point, maybe a short bullet list, maybe a metaphor or analogy, maybe it's some sort of visual image or graphic to support it, understanding their needs. And then finally, in order to get press, we have to think like a journalist. So oftentimes we think that good press is because we deserve it, because somebody did something deserving, or because it's you know, new and different. We've got to think like a journalist and what makes a news story to them, which is things that other people are interested in, not just our own staff. So we've got to be sure that we're pitching stories in a way that's journalistically attractive.
Awesome advice. Awesome thought there. I like that. So let's kind of go into your classes just a little bit. You have several different classes that you teach and have these online programs, as well as what you do in person. You have a program called Media Talk. Let's go there first. Can you tell us a little bit about Media Talk?
Well, it covers some of the things we discussed, such as being prepared, using the delay tactic, being quotable, and also being in control of the interview. But we go much deeper with the online or on-site course of exactly how to do that. For example, one little tip is something we call bridging. The modern word is pivot. But it's got to be done effectively so it's not offensive. And that simply means taking the question that you are asked and being able to bridge over the message you want to deliver in a smooth and effective way. Just like hitting a baseball, you've got to get in the cage and take a few swings. Well, in order to learn a bridge, you've got to practice it, preferably on videotape, play it back, and practice and eventually master the art. Then we move on to how to sell a story, how you can turn an event into a media event, how to send photographs that the media will embrace and use, and then also how to respond to the press if they get it wrong. What's the appropriate chain of command, and what are the kinds of things that we really should do to get fair and equal and accurate coverage? We cover all those things in the Media Talk seminar.
Awesome. You have another one called The Power Behind the Podium. Can you talk just a little bit about that? What would someone learn from that training?
Yeah, we really get into the speech writing process. I'm a big believer in doing things backwards. In other words, instead of what am I going to say, it's what does the audience want and need to hear. And that can change our disposition and definitely change our language. We have to cater our language, our education needs, our buzzwords and acronyms into language they understand. So if you're talking to a bunch of business people, you would talk about dividends and ROI. Or if you're talking to parents, you're going to talk about safety and academic achievement. You've got to cater your speech to the language and the needs of the audience. After we go through a speech writing process, we talk about things like eye contact, body language. We talk about visual. Probably one of the biggest, most persistent mistakes that educators make is they use PowerPoint for their speaker notes instead of using it as an emotional tool that adds an element, a memorable element, to their speech or presentation. We misuse slides all the time. And there are other audiovisual materials and things, these can be on slides that we can also use. I love short videos, photographs, artwork, etc., to reinforce what we're saying with our words. That way people can learn in multiple ways, auditory, perception, and even kinesthetic through activity. And finally, what's a good closing, the action step we want people to take to make sure you're persuasive. But the entire Power Behind the Podium seminar is geared to educators. So it's not like Toastmasters or other speaker courses that some of the administrators may have taken, which is more generic. We deal directly with the kinds of education issues that you're dealing with every day, the finances, the policies, passing a referendum, explaining a new program, how to get parents more involved, or how to recruit teachers to come to your school district. It's all in that power that you get behind the podium that can actually move people to action.
Love it. I love it. You know, and after hearing you describe these classes, I mean, I'm a former high school principal, and there were so many times I could have used someone who would have helped me talk with the media, just like you're talking about now. And I got to ask, is that something that you do? Can a school system kind of bring you in to work specifically with their principals or their people who communicate with the public?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, on my webpage, it clearly shows how we can either come to the school district and do it on site, or they can take the online courses. But you said something very interesting about looking back and wishing you had something. You are certainly not alone. You know, you can take an entire curriculum to get a bachelor's, a master's, all the way to a PhD, and never take a single course on marketing and communication. And yet, search firms will tell us the number one reason superintendents are fired is because of a lack of communication. Well, how are you expected to be a marketer in communication and communicator in this very competitive world that we're now in education, if you've never had a single course or any training in it? Some people are natural, but most folks have to learn some of these techniques. So that's the void that I try to fill. Really, really smart educators are not necessarily great at engaging communities, making speeches, talking to the media, etc. So this training is to fill that void that you didn't get in school to prepare you to be a principal, system principal, administrator, superintendent, school board member, or any sort of education leader, including teachers who need to talk to parents. So we want to make sure that you've got that well-rounded communication training to make educational leadership more powerful. And all the way back to your first question about the louder bullhorn, in order for us to have a louder bullhorn collectively, we've got to be better communicators individually.
I love it. This is, you know, that's something that it never stops. As long as you're in education, if you have an opportunity, you always have opportunities to speak to the public. And matter of fact, they grow the more you proceed up into the administration levels of education. You just have all those different times where you need to be talking to everybody, and having that support and someone who helps teach you how to have those conversations, especially the ones where someone is trying to talk to you and they really want you to talk to them right now, as opposed to something that you've put together for an evening event or something.
Well, we're always communicating. The question is whether we're doing it with intention. All school districts, for example, have strategic plans. But are they communicating that strategic plan effectively so we get a parade behind it and everybody buys into it? We're doing daily emails. Are the email language that we're using appropriate? And then, of course, you get into the whole world of social media, tweets and Facebook posts and LinkedIn blog, and all of them take a certain kind of language that's clear and concise but also effective. And those are things that we really don't have much professional development in, and that's the void that I try to fill, both with the on-site and the online course.
That's excellent. I just know that these are skills that are needed, and you're providing an awesome tool and resource that can work, can help people become better at number one, understanding that they need to communicate more, and number two, they have to work on their skills about communicating. So cool stuff.
Well, Steve, you are a leader in the use of social media. You were an early adopter. You have continued to use it effectively, including this podcast. And I think you understand that that's going to continue to be an effective tool for us. But most educators are not there yet. At least, I mean, they may be using it, but are they using it to the best of their ability or leveraging it in a way that's going to really help with things like parent involvement, teacher recruitment, and internal efficiency? And the language of social media is changing. So one of our online courses called Social Media for Educators provides policies, procedures, and professional development for the use of social media. We think this is probably the most urgent and pressing need in education communication today. They're really curious about it. They're worried about it. There's a lot of risks involved. Educators are scared to go into this new frontier. We minimize those risks. We teach people how to respond to negative posts. So we provide all of that, plus some very handy tools and practice sessions on dealing with different crisis situations or outreach messaging. The Social Media for Educators course is just completed with the help of Kristen Majette, who wrote the book on for the National School Public Relations Association, Social Media for Educators. So we really have the expertise, the content, the examples, the templates, the policies and procedures that I think will really help educators.
So awesome. David, you know, if someone wanted to connect further with you, where would you send them?
Well, I think first stop is the website, and then give me a call. You know, my service is very personal, Steve, and I like to talk to clients and potential clients and participants in my training. But Communicating Education is where you would find the online services. So that's communicatingeducation.net, just like it sounds, spelled out one word, communicatingeducation.net. That will display our free online courses. Then they can also go to my website, my company website, bossandassociates.net, bossandassociates.net, and there you'll be able to see all of the training options, both on-site and online, but also the vast array of communication consulting services and products that we provide. We are basically a full-service marketing and communications company with its heart in education. So we do the same things for school districts that other companies do for large corporations that are selling products. Then finally, call me, 941-650-4614, 941-650-4614. Would love to talk to people who are interested in improving their communication skills so that we can find a bigger bullhorn for education.
That's awesome. And I will have the links to his different websites as well as the phone number in the show notes also. So we'll put them there. David, as we close out, I have two questions that now are things I like to ask my guests. And what I'd like you to do is just give me what you think here. So if you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
Know your kids. You know, that old thing about they got to know that you care. And knowing and understanding your particular children, their needs, is what's crucial. I think what's happened in education is we've gotten to too many template formats or top-down instruction on this is the way you teach, regardless of what the child's needs are. Individualized instruction, the ability to adapt, the ability to clearly hear the kinds of learning styles that your individual students have is the way to be successful, particularly for today's diverse population.
Awesome advice. Thank you very much. And so do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? If given a chance to say thank you, who would it be and what would you say?
Well, I'm going to take a different twist on that question. I actually have a teacher in my present, and it's my daughter. My daughter is a 7-year veteran now, teaching in the classroom, elementary, and now special education. But what she shows me every day is what that dedication to young people is all about. Sure, I can cite also some former coaches who helped me with my baseball career, third grade elementary teacher that first got me interested in language arts, etc. But really, my daughter is still here today, every day, inspiring me, reminding me, also sharing with me the trials and tribulations and the challenges that these teachers are going through every single day. So I have to say my daughter, the teacher, is my greatest inspiration.
That is awesome. I love that response. I love that answer. So thank you so much for sharing with us about your daughter. David, thank you so much for joining me today. I wish you the best in all your endeavors, and keep up the great work in helping educators learn how to communicate and deliver messages in more impactful ways. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Steve. As a leader in the heart of Georgia, RESA, I really respect what you do every day and what all of our educators do every day for our children.
Thank you so much. Safe travels.
Bye-bye.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the heart of Georgia RESA.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? That's right. You can now find Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 on Google Play Music. Check us out.